Welcome, welcome, welcome to the postgame. Celtics beat up on the Philadelphia Celtics to start the season. I'm James Hollis, and yeah, thanks for joining us to the game one. Oh, and my co-host is here too. Let me get him online. What's up, brother?
Yeah, I'm here too, man. Don't forget about me.
my man, Colin Letty. My bad, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Long time no talk. Pumped to have the season back and a big dub for our boys.
Man. All right, so let me ask you, describe in one word how you felt before that game started.
Excited.
Excited?
And I guess just... Yeah, I would say excited just because we saw what this team did last year without the star power, and now you're adding Hayward and Kyrie, and you know you got Tice back and Marcus Smart's 100%, and you know Rozier can kind of take his bench role back. So yeah, I mean, excited is the only way to go.
And before we get too far into it, like I said, I'm James Hollis, man, Mr. Letty. This is the Celtics post game show, CLNS. Celtics postgame show. Boston just smacked Philly around pretty easily. 105-87. Kyrie didn't play. Hey, no Kyrie, no Gordon Hayward, no problem. This is just like the playoffs. Boston just seemed to be the better team tonight. Before the game started, I was a little bit I was nervous, not just because, you know, first game of the season, excitement. I didn't want Boston to get embarrassed. And the preseason, you know, Celtics didn't look too sharp. Right? I think you can agree with that.
Right. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a cohesive unit yet.
And tonight they still didn't look very sharp to start off with, but they just kind of overwhelmed the Sixers with talent. Jason Tatum again was the man. It's one game down, 81 to go. How do you feel?
Pretty good. I mean, you would have obviously liked to see a little bit more consistency shooting-wise from Irving and Hayward, but that's the beauty of this team is that guys can have off nights and you'll still just be able to out-muscle and out-talent some of these teams, even like Philadelphia, which should be probably the second or third seed in the East. So, I mean, you got to like what you saw overall as a unit, being able to pick up that slack from top to bottom. I mean, they went with a 9-man rotation and, you know, all of them really contributing in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Again, like I said, against the Cavs, I think the Cavs TV guy made a really good point when he said it looks like all the Boston guys are just playing one-on-one a lot more individually than they played last year. So that was something I was really watching for, you know. Right, because last year they had a lot of success, and, you know, sometimes you hear about guys in year two after a big year the way they had it. In year two, they kind of change, and not maybe the best way. And I didn't think the Celtics would do that, but at the same time, it was something else kind of on my, you know, you get a little success, the next year you're asked to take a step back because, you know, some guys are back. How's it going to play out? Well, it played out great. There's plenty of minutes to go around, plenty of shots to go around. I love the fact that Kyrie didn't play well, but he still didn't force anything. He let those guys do their thing. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know if you agree with this. Kyrie, you know, he took what they gave him early, and then, you know, he just kind of kept taking what they were giving him. We've seen him be really aggressive, and he could do more than he did today, but he was just playing his position. He knew Marcus Morris had it going. He knew that Tatum had it going. He didn't seem to be struggling, worry about anything, so.
Right. I mean, I think maybe after the first half and a couple seconds or minutes into the second, he might have known it just was not his night shooting-wise. So, you know, and I love to see, you know, even though he didn't have a great night, I love to see him trying to just get other guys involved in that. So he still had that motor. He just put his efforts into just something else in the game.
Right.
Just trying to get the offense going.
The cool thing, like the pass to Marcus Morris for the three where he just turned around, started walking right down the court before the shot even went up. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing, you know, we love to see from Kyrie right now. So.
Exactly.
Of course, it's only game one, small sample size. None of this, it doesn't really matter, right? The season doesn't start. I say the season doesn't start until like 2 weeks in. But is there anything you took away from this game?
I mean, it was just like little things. Seeing Tatum, you know, shoot the three-pointer, follows his shot all the way. He may not have gotten it, but just a lot of hustle plays and you know, offensive rebounding was huge tonight. Those second chance buckets. How many times did we see Baines or Horford just grab an extra bucket and the Celtics score on it? I mean, they out had them 12-6, and it's just good that you have those role players that will do those little dirty work things.
I'm looking right now at the box at the the box score, and it's really balanced across the line for the Celtics. Like you said, Jalen only had 12. Jalen didn't play well, but if I'm looking at now, he's plus 11. Yeah, he didn't play well at all, really. You know, he was 5-13 from the floor. You know, early on, he missed a couple of those little layups, and it was, we chalked that up to nerve. But overall, look, he ended up with 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, only 2 turnovers, which is not great, 4 fouls. But he led the team in plus minus. He was plus 11. So I say he didn't play well, but he had a positive impact. So
I mean, defensively, he'll always be one of those guys that you need out there.
Absolutely. And you know what? I said this. Yep, that's me. My bad.
Hey,
my bad,
good?
Colin. That's me. Yep, that's all me. My bad. Technical difficulties on my end.
Hey, it happens, man.
Yep, we're going to get just like the team, we're just getting our first game legs back together.
Right,
so
right.
It's going to be some snafus. Going
to get the kinks out.
Yeah, so what I was just saying is that I think any player down the line, next couple of years says, hey, he needs a bigger role or he might have to move on because he wants more opportunity somewhere else, it would be Jalen, I think. He just seems to have that kind of game. So another thing I took from this is that the Celtics really have they really have Joel Embiid's number. I saw the film all summer. I saw the film all summer about him working, and he looks great. He looks like he's in better shape. And, he's dominating everywhere. If you look at the film and the preseason, then he plays the Celtics, and they really know how to get in and, bottle him up. They just really do a good job of keeping a body on him, not letting him get comfortable, and it shows, So that's something I really like to see that, Boston, they can't beat him with his physical tools, but they still know how to use their wits against him.
Right, just try and keep him out of the paint as much as you can. Throw different looks at him, double teams. If you can get Aaron Baines or Horford on him, try and switch that up every, few series, give him something new to look at, And, again, we might just be in the guy's head.
Don't fall for his pump fakes, So, yeah, man, it was really cool to see. And you know what? It's also nice to see, we watched the preseason and we watched, the YouTube clips he got working. It's nice to see guys like Terry Rozier doing the same thing they're doing in those videos in-game.
Right.
Shake and bake, hitting the pull-ups. Jason Tatum, stare down, dribble, dribble, even though we don't want to see him pound the ball like that. But guess what? This is, a little mano-a-mano with Embiid and hit the jumper in his face. I love seeing that kind of stuff, man. So, really good win for.
I like Horford's approach in the off season. Don't film anything and show up ready to play. I try and take the Damian Lillard route. It's nice, but does it matter? Everyone's got to get
right.
Everyone's got to get their social media limelight that they're working.
Right, it matters for our fan engagement. We love it. We like to see it. It makes
right.
The fans feel like, yep, absolutely. But Al Horford looks like he's in great shape. Obviously, he knows how to take care of himself. This team's gonna be scary, and I try to be cautiously optimistic because all the prognosticators are loving the Celtics right now. So when everyone's saying one thing, sometimes it might be like, all right, well, let's see can everybody be right? And sometimes they're not, But in this case, there's reason to be optimistic for the Celtics.
Absolutely. I mean, how can you not be?
Who was your player of the game?
I mean, it's got to be Tatum, obviously. I mean, he kind of paced the offense for the Celtics. He worked really well with Horford on the pick and roll. Three-point shooting wasn't where you really like it to be. But I would say the unsung hero is probably Marcus Morris getting a double-double. That, I feel like we didn't even talk about that much so far. I mean, 20 minutes, efficient, 16 points. He somehow got up 12 shots in the game, made 7 of them. but, took seven threes, obviously not what you'd like to see. Same thing with him and Marcus Smart. I feel like when they hit one, they just lose their mind and they just have this mindset where they can't miss, and obviously they don't. That's just not really their skill set. But, you know, 10 rebounds, was that enforcer? You know, he had a positive plus minus on the floor, used all five fouls. So, I mean, that's kind of his role, and he did it to perfection.
You know what? I would rather him shoot seven threes than shoot, you know, five threes and then have two like long range foot on the line twos.
Right.
So I'm okay with the seven threes. And you know what's crazy? He went 2 for 7, which is, you know, you say that wasn't great. But Baines, Smart, and Rozier combined to go 5 for 10 from three. That's great bench production. I'm looking at the numbers now. Everybody who came off who played was a net positive. There was not a single net negative as far as like a guy who came in and got outperformed while he's on the floor. Every Celtic was a positive this game. That's a big deal, man. That's good to see against Philly. And I think to me it's a slight psychological edge, right? Because we know Philly considers themselves one of the contenders in the East. Boston's not going to take them lightly, but the fact that they handle them so, you know, pretty easily with Tatum going, not Tatum, I'm sorry, Gordon Hayward going 4 for 12. Kyrie Irving went 2 for 14, and you know they still win by almost 20 points. That's something,
right? And I was thinking about this throughout the game. I mean, we may not see any Celtic average 25, maybe even 20 points a game this year, just because it's so balanced. I mean, you have Tatum 23, Morris 16, Brown 12, Rozier 11, Hayward 10, Horford 9, Baines 8, Irving 7, Smart 7. So it's like, I feel like it's just going to be a mixed bag every night. You're going to get that similar production every night. It just, you don't know who is going to be getting the 23 points and who's going to be getting the 7.
See, I'm going to respectfully disagree. Kyrie Irving is a scorer. That's what he does. Tonight,
it won't be him.
He's going to be I think he's going to be about 24, maybe 25 points a game, just because that's who he is.
I don't think there's enough shots to go around for that.
I mean, there's going to be, though. Like, Kyrie's going to – like, tonight, Tatum took 17. Kyrie only took 14. But we know he played 29 minutes. And he wasn't pressing. He wasn't really being aggressive. He took a lot of those threes that were given to him. Kyrie's going to get up 18, 19 shots a game. And that's I think so. I think, you know, 17 shots a game, he'll score 24 on those 17 shots. And I think Tatum's going to be not far behind. He's going to get his 16, 15 shots a game. He'll score probably almost 20 a game.
Yeah.
Jalen will have his nights, but I think for the most part, 14 to 16. And I really do feel that Gordon Hayward's going to be that guy. He's going to be almost like a perimeter Al Horford, where he's going to fill the gaps. He'll have his nights when he hits a lot of shots. Like we saw tonight, he was just hitting, you know, he found his mid-range stroke. But I don't think he's going to really – I think he'll be fine letting Tatum and Irving take the scoring load, and he's just going to play ball. He's going to hoop, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I love the balance so far. And, yeah, obviously, just an off night for Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's funny. I saw people saying he was rusty. No, he just had a bad night. It happens. You know, nerves, he wanted to start off the second season right. It happens. Joel Embiid, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. His night wasn't as good as those numbers, right?
No. I don't know. I mean, he shot 42%. You know, he's 1 of 4 from three. He actually was 4 of 5 from free throws. But, yeah, I mean, they're kind of deceiving numbers. I didn't think he was -8. So, I mean, you expect more out of him. But I just don't think Philly did much in the offseason to help him out and take some of the pressure off him.
We talk about, man, they got their number one pick back, Markelle Fultz.
Oh, yeah, he was so good. I mean, he had to have been the worst player on the court.
Honestly, he was. I'm looking at he had the worst net. And he just didn't do anything out there. We saw a couple times he had a couple off the bounce. His dribble looks good. But that's – what does that mean? That's like Jamal Crawford. Oh, he gets great handle, but what's he doing with it? I'm not going to kill I'm not going to kill Fultz again. We can reiterate it. We're going to say it to we're blue in the face. One game doesn't mean anything. Both of these teams are going to look much different in 20 games. But here's the thing. Boston already looks great, so they're going to just look smoother. Philly has a lot to improve on. And you know what's funny? I tweeted this out. Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli last year, right? They were big for Philly. How many threes do you think they shot combined per game?
I'll let you answer, man.
Just give me a guess. I mean, this is two role players, you know, Ilyasova and Markov. They both played a lot. They both were key minutes. And like when Boston took them out of the game, it really showed, like, it really gummed up the offense for Philly last year in the playoffs. So
between the two, maybe 11?
Very close. They shot around, in fact, a little over 10. They took combined. They took like both took over 5 a game. Both of them shot about 39% from 3. You know, so like that's a big chunk of production. That's like no, about 4 threes a game from those two guys, and they're both gone. And my question was, that kind of shooting really opens up everything else. Where is Philly going to find that shooting this season? You know, and you know, so far the question's valid. They went 5 for 26 from 3. Redick, of course, is going to be he's always going to be able to shoot. I don't think he only hit 2 threes, took 8, but that's his game. He's going to shoot a lot of threes. That's fine. So if he went 2 for 8. The rest of the team was, you know, 3 for 16. That's not great. I'm sorry, 3 for 18. That's not great. You know, so they got to find shooting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were doing this offseason, because after Embiid, Simmons, and Redick, it's kind of a crapshoot to who's going to put the ball in the basket. And, you know, if Redick is, you know, only going 41% every night, you know, you got to have some production out of Fultz and, you know, guys like McConnell and some guys down the bench. But really, I mean,
Fultz is the key, I think. Fultz has to be the key. He has to find a way to find his jumper and stretch the floor. Right, he took. You know, of course, Simmons. No, Simmons was a coward and took 0 threes. Fultz has to be a 3-point shooter, and he, you know, he can't just be a 5-point per game scorer. He has 5 points tonight, which I'm not gonna. This is basically sure. He played 9 games last year, even appeared in the playoffs. We know he didn't really play, right? So no. I'm not saying he's a rookie, but he has a lot to learn still on the floor. So, you think he's gonna be good? What do you think Fultz is gonna be this year?
I mean, I don't think this is his role. This is, I feel like the pressure is only going to mount every day that he doesn't put up big numbers. And he hasn't shown anything that should prove otherwise either. Somehow Danny knew that he was just not fit for them, and he might not be fit in the NBA. I mean, we see busts all the time.
Man.
I mean, we see busts in the NBA. I just haven't seen anything good out of him. Like, what does he do well?
Handles?
What does he do well? I don't know.
He dribbles.
You got better points for that.
In all seriousness, okay, he has a good handle. He has great size for a point guard. If you're playing him at, you know, even though he's not the point guard, he's one of your guards. So he has great size for a guard. He's like 6'5", almost 6'6". Length, he's athletic. He can play, and I think he has the tools to be a good defender. So, sure, he didn't play well tonight. My thing is, like, if you're already playing Embiid and Simmons, now you're throwing him in the mix as a high-usage guy, who is spacing that floor? And I get it. Spacing is not everything. San Antonio was one of the best teams in the league the last couple of years, and they weren't even, like, one of the best, like, the highest in three-point rate, and they shot a lot of mid-range jumpers. That's fine. That's San Antonio. When you got Simmons and Embiid and Fultz, I mean, do you have to play J.J. Redick? You know, does Saric have to be on the floor too, because those guys can shoot? I mean, and that's not terrible, but Fultz has to show that he can shoot the three. He has to.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you're just not getting enough offensive production from anyone else. And who really is going to step up? I mean, Embiid dominates the post, so that kind of takes away from Covington and what his role should be. And then you're going to lean on Saric, and, you know, hopefully Fultz would be perfect as a second unit point guard, but they don't have someone that can really take a spot in the starting lineup. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's just in a tough spot.
He is, and you know what? This is part of being an NBA player, right? Like, when you get picked number one, this happens. I mean, this is part of the – fair or not, this is part of the pressure that comes with it. And I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be fine. But can you imagine how much better Philly would look with Tatum playing beside Ben Simmons and Embiid?
Oh, my God. I mean, last year they probably win that series.
Oh, hands down. Oh, no. Yeah, it's not even – it's a whole different ballgame. If Tatum's – because he's on the floor. He wouldn't have been out like Fultz was. And, I mean, even if he's, you know, playing the same role he did for Boston, where he's just playing off of everybody and shooting open threes and scoring 14 a game, that's awesome. That's, like, incredible. And in the playoffs, he showed, he has the one-on-one game to ISO and open up the floor for everybody else. Yeah, he'd have been incredible.
Exactly. So, I mean, somehow Danny knew. He always does.
Well, and except when he got R.J. Hunter. And James Young. But other than that, he usually knows.
Right.
What else? Anything else about this game? What did you see good from Philly? I know this is a Celtics podcast, but we're gonna break down the enemy a little bit, right? You got to know who you're dealing with. What's one thing you saw that a positive from Philly tonight?
Well, I mean, Ben Simmons, without much help, is just so good. I mean, He really does just a great job of spacing the floor. He can't shoot, obviously, but he gets to the rim very well. You know, he's a guy. Him and Embiid are really going to be the guys they're going to build this team around. I after seeing tonight's game, if it continues like this, I don't know where they'll end up. But, I mean, they move the ball very well. That's what you can say about them. You know, they led the league in passes last year. So, I mean, they can get guys out of position. They just need more firepower on offense to score.
Yeah, when I said the thing about the shooting, man, I understand that. You know, it's Ilyasova and Bellinelli. But that's not insignificant. They, you know, taking threes and making threes is a big deal in a modern offense. So you got to have guys who can do that. And right now, you know, we're beating the dead horse. They don't have guys who can do that. Like, Simmons was marvelous tonight, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, only 3 turnovers. Like, that's, you know – Got to be able to shoot it, man. You got to be able to – and I'm not – there's no way I can blame him for this. But him and Embiid both sported a net negative 8 plus minus. You know, they both
right.
– I mean, when you lose by 20-something and you're only negative 8, that's not your – that's not your fault. You know, there's 3 other guys on the floor with you. What else is positive I see? Amir Johnson played hard.
Yeah.
He had a nice dunk.
Now we're really scraping the barrel here.
I'm trying. Look, Philly didn't play well. That's the bottom line. They didn't really play well. Boston dictated the game with their defense. Boston didn't necessarily shoot great either. But you know, when it came down to it, and it was shot makers versus not shot makers, Boston was all the shot makers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our guy out there, Scary Terry off the bench, 10 shots, 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. You know, a big block, and he led the team with a plus 22. When he's on the court, good things happen. Playing beside Kyrie or, you know, as the lead guard by himself. So, you know, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists in just 27 minutes. Smart. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. You know, like we already talked about Marcus Morris. You know what? You give Marcus Morris the bench MVP, I'm giving it to Terry Rozier. I'm giving it to Scary Terry.
Yeah,
11 points, 8 rebounds, 8 blocks. I mean, 8 assists in 27 minutes. That's awesome.
Right. I mean, I guess that's what we expect that from him, though.
Absolutely. Because when he started, he played like a starter. So, yeah, Morris is great. And that's not to take away from Morris. Double-double in just 21 minutes. And he played, you know, tough defense. He laid the wood on a couple guys. You're right. That's not bad at all. He was surprising because he's a gun, but he was hitting a lot of shots today. So,
yeah, he's streaky. So it's never something you can maybe string along. So you kind of have to pick and choose what games he does it.
And shout out to Baines. Baines and Embiid is one of my favorite.
I love it.
It's awesome, and I think Baines is kind of in Embiid's head a little bit. You know what I mean? Embiid's a better player. Obviously, he has the numbers, but. Hey, when Baines is on the court, he makes Embiid work. Embiid gets a little frustrated, looks like. Baines only had 8 points and 4 rebounds, but he also had 3 assists, and he hit 2 threes. And, you know, that's – what else can you ask for from Aaron Baines?
Right.
So,
not much. I mean,
yeah.
In a short amount of time, in 8 minutes he did all that. And you know what? He did it with a smile on his face. He went – you know what I mean? It's not – he was playing so much last year. It must be hard for everyone. The guy.
No,
like
he played. I think you're seeing the wrong guy.
They're built
for. I think you're seeing the wrong guy. Baines played 19 minutes.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
It's all good. It's embarrassment of riches in Boston right now. They got, you know, and they're going to work out the rotations. It's kind of, somebody's going to be like the odd man out. Because like you said, Tice was really good. Tice only played 4 minutes. He was really good last year before he got hurt. He says, you know, get back to the swing of things. But he's gonna want minutes. You know what I mean? And we know how your boy Brad Stevens does it, right?
Yeah.
One night Tice might be on a roll. He'll play 25 minutes. He might not play more than, you know, 3-4 minutes next three games. This is how it goes, and these guys have to be ready for that. So.
And it keeps them engaged in every game.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they're engaged. I guess should we go to? Oh, yeah, we got a couple phone calls. I think before we do that though, do I got something to say for the people here? I think so.
I believe so.
Yeah, I do. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents a cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Mershon, and Kelly Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. Located at 113 Salem Street. Check it out. Thank you, Boston Barber and Tattoo. I guess we should take one of these phone calls. My man at 413. Yeah, who's this?
Thank you, just listening.
No, just listening. Thank you, my man. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
And we got somebody at 617. You are live on the CLNS postgame show.
No, I'm 617, just listening. Sorry.
Oh, no problem, man. All right. Well, everybody's just calling and listening right now.
Yeah, no one wants to talk to us.
Yeah, that's all right.
What'd
all right,
you
well,
do?
Hey, you know what? I don't know, man. That kind of hurt my feelings. Let's see if I can get him out of something. Tweet this out again. So, from the Celtics side of things, again, I think a big problem last year was that Boston generates a lot of good looks. They just didn't make a lot of them. And that was something that, I don't know, you Matt Moore, also knows HB Basketball on Twitter, talked about that a lot. He got a little sassy about it. He was like, well, if you're generating open looks and the guys aren't making shots, are you really generating good looks? You know, Boston Kyrie missed almost half the season. Going over Gordon Hayward, it happened. Tonight, they had, again, they generated 37 three-pointers. They weren't all great, but they shot 37, only made 11. That's going to get way better, right? That's going to get way better, you know, so.
It's going to have to.
And it's going to have to. I think Boston won the Battle of the Boards, 43-41. No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. No, no.
They
go, 50, like... yeah. No, they won it, 55-47.
Well, my thing hasn't updated yet.
Yeah, Boston beat them up 55-47 on the boards. Offensive boards, 12 to Boston, only 6. They only gave up 6 offensive boards. To a team with Embiid, that's a big deal. I think that shows that, again, even though there's no dominant rebounder in Boston, they rebound by committee. They stay true to their principles, which means the shot goes up. They all find a man to try to box out. That's awesome. That's a really good look for game one, especially when a guy like Simmons had 15, you know, to hold everybody else. Simmons had 15, Embiid had 10, and, you know, that's a good job. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty well balanced. I mean, you look down, you have – you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. 9 guys on the Celtics with at least 3 rebounds. I mean, 3 was the least out of those 9. But, you know, we have Horford, Baines, and Irving all with 4. And, you know, Hayward and Brown with 5. And then, you know, Tatum's rebounding. Rozier's obviously just chomping at the bits to do anything he can to stay on the court. That's what he has to kind of do. He has to show them why he should be on the court as opposed to those other guys. And that's – those little things can be a reason.
I love that guy, man. I love his guts. I love how, like, the fact that Brad Stevens seems to really love him and, like, we got to keep him on the floor. Right? When Brad Stevens is saying that we got 5 minutes for Terry Rozier because how hard he works, that is, like, a big deal. Now, here's a question. It's kind of a maybe a, not even unpleasant, but it's maybe uncomfortable to think about. do you think Stevens and Ainge look to move him by the trade deadline?
No, I think they would have done it already. Just because I think they're willing, if they want to win a championship, they know he's a guy that they need. And are they willing to sacrifice the championship for him to stay on the roster and go elsewhere after? Yeah, I think they are.
I agree. I think so too. Yeah.
I mean, you could trade him and you could get, you know, probably a pretty decent player back, but just the way they all play together, I mean, is it worth it? You know, I mean, you're going to lose some of these guys eventually. You can't keep them all. You might as well get as much production while they're still under these rookie contracts as well.
Thank you. That's a good way to look at it, man. I've been beating that drum. There's a couple of Celtics writers who are very pragmatic about it, and all they think about is guys' assets. They go, well, it'd be silly to – you got to flip this guy. I'm like, why can't you just keep what you have and try to win? What's wrong with that? You don't have – everything's not an asset for next year.
Hurts it. Him being traded hurts the team. So why – you know what I mean? It was the same thing with those draft picks for so long. It's like you got to eventually turn these into something, and they did with with Tatum and Brown, but you can only have so many.
I always think it's weird when even like writers and fans get obsessed with asset management. So everything's just like, well, no, it's best to flip him now for a second round. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like last year, I got that conversation about, man, they should probably move Marcus Morris right now for try to get a second rounder for him. I'm like, he's helping the team win. Yeah, right. But, I mean, he's not going to – and then next year he's expiring. I said, that's fine. You pay a guy a contract, not just so – that's just to flip him. You pay him so he can play.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's
such
a
weird thing. Oh, man, it's such a weird thing that some
– that doesn't help you win an NBA championship this year.
It doesn't. It's just another valuable asset.
They have a window right now where they have Brown and Tatum and Rozier all on their rookie deals. They still have to, they have to sign Kyrie. They just signed Hayward, and they still have Horford on his max deal. So, I mean, some guys are going to have, and obviously Smart. And so some guys are going to have to come and go. But, while you have them all here, go nuts with them.
Now, I will say Marcus Morris. I love Marcus Morris. I love his, he's a player that's, inefficient, whatever else. Guess what? He gets buckets when you need to, and your team can afford to have him play like that against second units. You want that kind of player. I wonder if he's going to be a guy that, not because of he's expiring, but simply because we know he considers himself a starter caliber player, and I love that he's embraced the bench role. He's not going to get a lot of minutes some nights, right? Some nights when Gordon Hayward's back 100% and, Jalen's back and in the groove and Jason Tatum's playing well, there might just not be a lot of minutes for Marcus Morris. And I wonder if that's one of those situations where, out of respect for him, not because like he's a problem, but they're like, look, man, I understand you want to play a lot and you got a contract coming up, and they might not say like they're moving where they want to move him, but then it might be a case of if you want playing time. But I mean, hey, he seems to really be locked in. He gave the bench the nickname. If you can give him 15 to 20 a night, I guess he'll be happy. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I think the only reason they would move him as if he really wants to be moved, and I don't see that happening. Again, I feel like this roster was set in stone for the year before the season started. When they finished off Smart's contract, that was the team moving forward, and I don't think they're going to try and move anyone unless problems arise midseason.
So, and this is a pragmatic long-term view. Again, I'm not being like they have to move somebody, but a move of Morris, and not bringing back much money, they could get under the luxury tax, which I don't care about. It's not my money, right? But
right,
I don't
care about it.
But here's the thing, though, right? No owner wants to be a repeater, so paying that repeater tax. But once you are a repeater, if you're a contender, you just kind of suck it up. But you stay away from that tax for as long as possible. So I would understand if they did make a financial move to an end-of-the-bench guy just to open up a little space to avoid that luxury tax this year, because they know they got to pay guys. Like you said, we know it's coming. Now keep everybody in. You still got to pay, Jalen, Jason, Gordon's under contract. Kyrie's going to want his money. So you're going to end up paying that tax. You probably want to stay away from it for as long as possible. So I wouldn't be shocked if a move like that came this year. But, I mean, this team seems to really love each other. They seem to really get along. I'm excited to watch these guys grow together. Man, it's just, there's not much takeaway from this game, man. They play really well.
Yeah, they dominated, especially in the second half. You know, and they got, you know, they were pretty impressive on the boards. So, great night for the Celtics.
Absolutely. And we're talking right now, right, while the Thunder are down 11-16 to the Warriors, which kind of said I'm missing that game. I'd love to see my boy, well, not Russ. I'll see my boy Paul George do his thing tonight. So how do you feel about, I mean, obviously, again, I know we're not drawing any conclusions. Me and you haven't really talked, you know, all offseason or anything. What do you think the ceiling is for this Celtics team? I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I want to hear you say it.
I think it is a NBA Finals appearance, maybe, against the Golden State Warriors. I mean, them getting DeMarcus Cousins, when that happened, this season was a wash overall. I don't think they.
You think so?
This last year's team went, you know, what was it, 12-1, or, you know, they only lost one playoff game, and all they did was add DeMarcus Cousins and lose a Matt Barnes. I mean, yeah, the team is impregnable. I mean, they cannot be stopped. I wish the NBA did something to stop it. I mean, they stopped Chris Paul from going to LA. How could they not stop? I mean, this team is literally like the starting lineup for the USA Olympic team for Golden State.
I know that your boy, he's good. He's really good. If he's healthy, DeMarcus, we don't know if he's healthy. And we don't know what he's going to look like healthy. I think obviously that Golden State's more vulnerable than they've been in a long time, only because that it takes a toll, right? So all these finals, all the games, it's going to take a toll. So I think as constructed, if they stay healthy, they'll have a shot, you know. But yeah, if DeMarcus comes back and he's like his old self, then yeah, it's trouble. It's trouble for everybody involved. You're right. I just don't think he's going to be that guy.
I mean, it's all based on – I mean, even if he's half the guy he was, that's scary. And that's going to probably have to be his role anyways, is half of his production that he used to.
I'm going to disagree. Because what made him special is his size and his nimbleness and his mobility. If he's only half of that, then he's not that great a player, right? And then he's not that great a defender. So, like, certain guys, like, let's say Westbrook, right? Westbrook's great, but what makes him really great is a great player is his athleticism, right? You agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So if Westbrook with only 80% of that athleticism is just not is a different whole player. It's not just a 20% less player. It's a whole different factorial. Same thing with Boogie. His mobility has made him special. If he just became half of what he was, he's not that dangerous anymore, I think. And I think he's almost like they'd be better off playing somebody else. So this is all speculation, and, you know, this is from –
I mean, even without Boogie, I might feel the same way. I think without Boogie, it's a much better series, but with him, and if he can just be somewhat productive and not be a negative on the court or in the locker room, I mean they're becoming the New England Patriots of the NBA, the blueprint of how to win and how to sacrifice. I mean, any four or five of those guys would have been not Boogie after the injury, but our max guys on any other team. And they've all sacrificed so far to win these. And winning never gets old. I don't think there's going to be any debriefing because of it. Hello.
Man, I am the worst.
Hey, man, it happens. Hey, we're getting the kinks out, right? Just like folks. I think we have a higher upside.
Yeah, so sorry anybody else who's listening. These two guys called in. They're troopers. I appreciate these guys. So we got like 15 minutes left, man. Let's get back to the game at hand. This is not a Warriors podcast. This is
right.
Celtics show. All right, so let's grade this game. What grade do you give the Celtics for this game? I'll go first with this one. They kept the minutes down, obviously, for everybody. Everyone got a chance to showcase their stuff. The bench mob, I thought, was really good. Obviously, Gordon Hayward and Jason and Kyrie Irving, you know, you don't want them to go 6-4. You don't want them to go 6-26 and 2-11 from three. But when, you know, when they do, you want the team to still win by 18. So that's a very, very, a very pleasing thing that they're the two quote unquote main offensive cogs that everyone thought last year can play so poorly, and Boston can still, you know, handily deal with a quality team in the East. So other than the, you know, poor shooting aside, they shot 11-37 from three. Free throw shooting, they got to be more aggressive. Celtics being them, they only took 14 free throws as a team. And it's, hey, tell me if I'm wrong. Early in the game, they were getting some contact, and no, there was no whistles.
Right, I kind of liked it.
Philly was playing. Yeah, they're roughing it up a little bit.
I mean, that's what everyone in the NBA. I mean, all NBA fans have been complaining about, that it's getting too soft and blah blah blah. So I mean, from that standpoint, I mean, obviously, I want our guys to get the calls, but I mean, if it makes it more competitive, kind of brings that the big man mentality back, then, you know, I'm all for letting the boys play.
Yeah, I'll take it. My only issue was when, like, Jason Tatum got pushed in the back on the layup.
Right.
I mean, it was right there, obvious. Now, Simmons didn't even try to hide it. He just kind of put his hands back and pushed, and there was no call. You can't let that happen. That's how guys get hurt. I mean, yeah. So I'm gonna get, yeah. So, you know, hey, for game one, I'm pleased. I know the execution can be better. Turnovers, what we got there? 14 turnovers isn't great, you know. But again, you know, we less turnovers than the opposition.
They won the turnover battle.
Right. They won. So again, for game one, this game, the only way it could have went better for Gordon Hayward and Irving hit the shots they took. They took a lot of good shots. They missed a lot of shots. I'm giving them a solid A. I give them a solid A.
Right. I mean, what more could you want out of this game? Everyone, like you said, was able to showcase what they had. You know, 5-point lead going into the half. I mean, I think their highest one was 9. So obviously, you want to keep the foot on the gas. So, you know, A minus A. Obviously, I mean, Kyrie and Hayward are big parts of this offense. And, you know, against the elite teams, they're gonna have to show up. So, you know, for that reason, I'd probably just go A minus, just because your stars just need to give you a little bit more.
Right. And, you know, you always hear guys come back from injuries say, like, no matter how much cardio they do, you can't, you know, actual gameplay don't get your win back.
Right.
I think that's nothing with Gordon. Gordon Hayward, yeah, he gets tired. And even though he's, like, physically tired, like, he's playing and running, his legs aren't there with him, you know. So, yep, they'll be fine. This is a very very promising start.
Well-oiled machine.
Not yet, but they will be,
right.
I'm pretty sure. What was the play of the game in your eyes?
The play of the game. Get back. You go first.
All right. I got a couple of them. I'm going to rank them, I guess. The Jaylen Brown fake dunk over Joel Embiid.
Damn,
was big.
That
was big. But that's my number three. And then the Terry Rozier cross, make Embiid stumble jumper was great. And then, of course, to me, the last one was our young adult son, Jason Tatum, dribble, Carmelo Anthony dribbling forever, and then sticking the jumper in Embiid's face was a big one for me.
I mean, I had to go with Terry Rozier with a huge block on Embiid.
Good call.
You know, there's nothing that gets the crowd more hype. I mean, you see a 50 baskets a game, it goes back and forth, but a shot like that getting blocked, I mean, it gets in a guy's head when you get blocked like that. You always kind of have that in the back of your head, you know, where, like, and I guess, especially because he came out of nowhere. It gets the crowd to his feet. You know, it's a domination game, it's a domination play. You know, everybody respects someone who goes the extra mile to stop someone else. So, yeah, had to be the block.
You know what? You won that round, I think, because that one definitely felt like a momentum changer.
Right.
Felt like a momentum changer. So, yeah, I think I got you. I think I agree with you with that. That was a big one. Also, again, every time I saw Embiid get sunned, you know, he was trying to back down Baines and he missed the hook badly. He tried to shoot the baby hook over Al Horford and get stuff back in his face. Getting blocked by Terry Rozier. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun watching Embiid lose again. Him and Simmons have great stats and lose. I never complain about that. I think we can probably wrap this one up, huh?
Yeah, not bad for the first.
No, it was absolutely horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I didn't play the music on the intro. I didn't play the music on the intro. I didn't. It wasn't a clean read. I let it disconnect us like twice. I'm not proud of this one. I was Gordon Hayward today. I just didn't have it. I didn't have my legs under me. We won, obviously, but I wasn't a big part of the win. You carried us home. You were Jason Tatum today, I think.
Appreciate it. It's what I always strive to be.
You know he's only 20?
Yeah, I know. Me being 23.
No, it's just crazy how – that's one – I love Jason Tatum. It's not his fault, obviously. But I'm so sick of hearing Reggie Miller and every other announcer just – For 20 years old, he's a baller, man. Doesn't matter if he's 20, we get it. He's young.
Basketball's the one game where age is, if you can play, you can play.
Yeah.
There are high players that should be in the league, so.
Yeah, before the game, I tweeted that, I said over-under on Kyrie, 24.5 points tonight. And, yeah, so whoever took the under, you guys are right. I was, I thought Kyrie was going to show out tonight. I wanted him to. So,
he's going to shake up the run.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's see. So, next game. When's our next game? When's Celtics next game? You talk while I sit and do the rest. This is what they call quality radio.
Hey, I mean, we're working on it, man. It's only our first game. We got to get our feet underneath us.
You know what? I'm not even Kyrie. I'm more like Semi Ojeleye today.
Hey, he's a fan favorite.
I got big muscles, but that's about it. All right. Next up, Friday, October 19th. Oh, the Raptors. Boston's heading to Toronto. It's going to be on ESPN. That's going to be a good game. I'm excited for that one. I had a date that night. I might cancel my date so I can watch that game.
You gotta cancel that, man. You got bigger plans. You got a date with Kawhi and the Raptors.
With Kawhi, Kyrie, and the Raptors, baby. Yeah, she might have to go eat by herself that night.
All right.
Yeah, man.
No dates.
Sorry, Bobby. I didn't do a good job today, but it's all right. We'll get him next time. Hey, to my guys who dialed in to listen, we appreciate you. Tweet at us and let us know how terrible or how well we did. You can find me at Snotty Drippin. You can find him at Ledse12, LEDDSE12. And thank you for joining the CLNS post-game show as the Celtics drub the Philadelphia 76ers 105-87, led by Jason Tatum, 23. Embiid had 23 also, I think, but he didn't play very well. He was bottled up by those Boston bullies again. So I don't know who's the host next time, but we'll tweet about it. You can find out. Anything else?
Nah, man. Pumped to be back. Get some Celtics basketball back in us. And, we got all four major sports going, so couldn't be happier.
All right, man. So thanks. Hey, any listeners, and you guys listen to the replay. So it'll be posted, and we'll tweet it back out. Make fun of us and tweet at us. And I think that's it, man. I'm about to play the outro music here. What's outro music? The outro music? I'm playing something. There it is right there. And we're out of here.
Peace out.